Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the latest IWA podcast episode, Fairer Food and Farming, brought to you in partnership with WWF Cymru. I'm Joe Rossiter, and I'm co-director of the Institute of Welsh Affairs. This podcast episode is part of our pre-Senedd election series with WWF Cymru, which discusses the four focus areas outlined in WWF Cymru's manifesto. These are healthier seas, greener jobs and economy, cleaner rivers, and today's topic, fairer food and farming. You can listen back to the podcast on healthier seas and the economy, and the cleaner rivers webinar is also available to watch back now. They're all really deep, fascinating, important conversations, and they're available on our IWA website or on your podcast provider of choice. Now, on to today's conversation, which is the final in this limited series. Almost 90% of Welsh land is farmed, and our seas are increasingly home to innovative food production technologies. Yet most of that food is produced at a financial loss, is consumed outside of Wales, and carries a high environmental cost. And it's dependent on taxpayer subsidies to sustain. Yet there is an alternative that we're going to explore. So today we're going to explore key questions like what we mean by fairer food and farming and what this might look like. What are the benefits to food producers, the environment and the public of transitioning to this fairer system? What levers we have in Wales, particularly for the next Welsh government, as we're in an election period, to reform the wider food system and reconnect the food that Wales produces with our nutritional needs? And overlying all of this, how public policy can be designed and implemented to prioritise what the public needs while fostering a more resilient food economy. And joining me to discuss this, we've got a range of different perspectives, which is really interesting. So we've got Aled Evans, who's a farm business owner, which he runs on regenerative principles. And we'll ask you to come in and give a bit more detail on that, Aled. We've got Simon Wright, who's a restaurateur, food policy reform advocate and broadcaster. And we've got Alexander Phillips, who's policy and advocacy manager at WWF Cymru. So welcome, everyone. Really pleased to have you join us. Good range of perspectives on what is quite a wide-ranging topic. And I want to open up with an initial question. And with food production, as I said, makes up close to 90% of Wales's landmass. This brings economic benefit, but also environmental cost. What do you see as the biggest opportunities for the next Welsh government in ensuring food production delivers economic benefit, nutritional security and environmental gain across Wales? Who wants to start with that really broad question to kind of open us up? Simon, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. It's a big question, but I think that we're at a point of real change. So the next government needs to realize that this is a point of opportunity, it's a real crossroads, and the pressures on the food system globally are such that we are really at a point where we need to reset. And I think to do that, we need the kind of energy and dynamism that we haven't really seen over the past few years to address those issues in the round. And understand what a fairer system means. And at the root of that, it has to mean a fairer system for our citizens. But that isn't just about price. It's about access to the proper nutritional food that every citizen deserves to have sovereignty over. It's about the state of our environment and how we produce food and what that does to the environment. And it's also about food security, which I think is one of the biggest issues on the agenda at the moment.
Alex, do you want to come in?
Yes, I'd agree. I think we're in this situation now in Wales where we spend a lot of time building the tools that can affect some of this. And now is the opportunity to really put them into practice. Now, the obvious case around that, around food production, we know that what we're doing isn't particularly sustainable and it's not really working for many people, be that on an economic basis or be that on an environmental basis, and there's need for change. Meanwhile, the global pressures that we're seeing in the news even this week is really putting massive additionalities onto the current system that we have and exposing those weaknesses there. So we need a government really that has the confidence to put the tools it already has into use and to deliver change at this general level. We have examples in Wales that we'll explore, I think, of areas where it is working, but how does that work at a larger scale? What else needs to change within the wider food system in order for that to happen? And there's a role for government there, there's a role for communities there, and there's roles for the private sector as well. So how do we actually make this happen? I think that's the challenge of the next 5 years.
And Aled, as a farm business owner, you know, what does that kind of challenge and opportunity look like to you, really?
Yeah, so for me, I'd like to see the ambition of far more joined up thinking, whether it's from food, so whether that's through education, through sourcing. We've got a huge crisis in the country with social and health challenges with the National Health Service. So I'd quite like to see front loading of really joining those up, but then you're going to have massive wins down the line through improved health, better physical and mental well-being. And I think we're really missing a trick there at the moment. We're just kicking the can down the road a little bit. So that's what I'd love to see, but it's potentially too ambitious. I don't know.
Oh, we're all for ambition. And I kind of spoke about this 90 percent and you know, the movement of where our kind of food products go. And the Welsh food system often highlights the disconnect between what we produce and what we consume. What would any of you be able to speak to what the kind of trends are here and how they could be different and what the impact of that being different could be? Alex, do you want to come in on that?
Yeah, I think what we've really seen probably over the last 70, 80 years is this sort of like increasing focus on production, specialization, intensification to some degree. That's really sort of broken that link between communities and food production. And I think that's not the fault of anybody who's producing food. That's sort of the system that we've produced post World War II. So you look at what the Common Agricultural Policy has tried to do, deliver cheap food for the masses to a large extent, and that's sort of become the victim of the market almost in that regard. So what's happened as a result is that we produce quite a lot in Wales. That's always going to be the case because of the nature of our land mass, but and we're a relatively small population. But what we've seen is that we're increasingly dependent on food being brought in to provide a more sort of a holistic diet. Meanwhile, we specialize in a few products that are largely consumed outside of Wales. So what I would like to see, so what this transition hopefully we can have is so that rebuilding that connection a bit more, so that we have sort of genuine nutritional security and sovereignty where, you know, we aren't dependent on the entire world for everything, that we do have the option of using our own where we can, and that we can provide that supply so we are more secure when we have these external risks.
Simon, I see you nodding away.
Well, I agree with both these guys. I mean, you know, I almost kind of think that, I mean, Al had mentioned, is it too ambitious? And I don't think we can be too ambitious. And I share his, you know, I share the worry that we won't act quickly enough and we won't act strongly and radically enough. But we actually, that's the only way in which we're going to see real change and meet the challenge, because things are changing really, really quickly. So we can't hang around when we talk about the resilience of our food system, because ultimately, and Alex mentioned, you know, the fact that we're largely red meat and dairy producers, most of that isn't consumed here. And that situation, in my view, has to change. Now, I think there are some factors that ha are helping with that. So if we take edible horticulture, for example, you know, something that's largely disappeared from Welsh farming. And I do think that we should see we need to look at the long term, the long history of farming in Wales. It's not just about the last 7 decades where we've seen this real diminution in the economic value of farming to Wales, and we've seen, you know, that this drive towards intensification. We have a long history which can teach us a lot about what we can possibly produce. What we need to recognize is the system is completely changing, and actually trying to stay the same is not an opportunity. I think the one thing we need to do is look at what outcome we'd like to see, which is a far more resilient Wales producing far more of its own food in a diverse way that is accessible to the majority, to all of the population, not just to those who can afford it. We need to think about it very carefully in respect of what we're learning about ultra-processed food. We have a two-tier food system, and therefore we have a two-tier health system. So it's about imagining that better world. And I was really encouraged by and interested in what Aled was saying, because I think there are multi-solving solutions to this. If we're going to make that change, we have to take a common sense approach, which the public can understand, They understand that they should have access to healthy food. They understand that we want more value retained in our economy, and that they understand that they want a better environment. But we can't talk about those things on their own. Otherwise, they're not relevant. They don't sound relevant to the person who's going into the supermarket and trying to feed their family.
Excellent. And Alad, I want to kind of zoom out as well, because over the last Senedd, we've heard a lot about the kind of the farming sector, really. And I would like to just kind of hear from you about what are the realities of food production in the sector at the moment. And similarly, also, I noted it at the beginning with your introduction that you've made some changes to the way that you farm in order to minimize your environmental impact. So, how have those changes impacted the long-term economics of, ultimately being a business? So, a couple of questions there, Aled, but just really would like to hear your, where are you at? What's some of the problems with the sector at the moment?
So I suppose as a sector, if you're looking at it from a conventional perspective, it's largely boom or bust. So probably in the last 2 years from a red meat sector, we've seen a bit of a boom just through prices being probably more where they need to be because they've been quite low for the 5 years before that. The problem with boom or bust is it's not sustainable. So for us as a business, we've gone down a grass-fed beefroot, looked to sort of optimize on livestock numbers and cut out sort of expensive purchased inputs like your fertilizers, purchase feeds. So we're doing more of what we've got on farm. The reality with that, in the last 2 years, we could have made more money by driving the system harder, using cheaper cereals in order to go into a commodities market, which is probably the biggest customer that we've got. But from my perspective, for creating more resilient business, that's not going to keep us in a good place over the next 5 years. So we've sort of stuck to where we are in that middle ground of making a profit, building more resilience, and just keeping a very simple system that we can replicate year on year. But as a sector, you can see it, you could get very excited at the moment going to chase bigger money by making use of cheaper feeds. And then all of a sudden, you see a global crisis where fertilizers, feeds, and stuff become in short supply, and it creates another problem again. So that's the challenge. But by creating a more resilient system and having a simpler grass-based system, I think you feel better about what you produce. It's very exciting. But there's also lots of challenges with it to gaining better access to market and building that resilient so access to markets.
And could you talk a little bit about, we've seen a shift in public policy when it comes to agricultural payments over the last few years, and some of that's still shifting to some extent with the introduction of the Sustainable Farming Scheme. What have you seen as the impact on you as a farming business and also your neighbours? Will it help to deliver more sustainable farming being undertaken in Wales?
For us, it's a very small part of income, if I'm honest. It doesn't take a lot of my focus. It probably just fits into what we do and I suppose gives us a tiny reward for what we're already doing. So we would have already been doing things like looking at our carbon footprint over the last 5, 6 years. Professional development, benchmarking to sort of build, improve that financial resilience of the business. So what it probably does is it creates a bar for maybe the lower end of the spectrum. So you're pulling the sector up a little bit. But you've also got quite an aging workforce and an aging sort of business owners in agriculture. And for them, I imagine it's very daunting because a lot of it's probably paperwork and IT related. So there's a lot of worry from that perspective. For us, as a bit more of a dynamic business, it's things that we're already doing and it won't have a massive impact on what we're doing. Just probably creates a bit more of a paper trail again, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah, I've not heard that perspective. Alex, do you want to come in? Obviously, the Sustainable Farming Scheme and the kind of policy side of it you've probably been a bit more in the weeds of. Is there anything you want to kind of reflect on with the sustainable farming scheme and what we've kind of ended up with after what feels like years of it being reformed slightly and tweaked?
Yeah, and I think that Aled's experience is probably what a lot of nature-friendly farmers are probably finding, in that, a lot of what was initially proposed has been watered down in this sort of universal layer to make it more appealing to sort of farmers that haven't pursued that route. And I think a lot of what is there now is sort of common best practice amongst nature-friendly farmers. So what it's really highlighted to me is the gap between best practice and common practice across quite a lot of the sector in Wales. So there might be some sort of marginal benefit over the long term into the bringing people up to a certain standard. Of course, the risk is that those that are probably the most far away from that won't enter the scheme at all. Like some of the more intensive sectors might just avoid it, and then we're dependent on regulation being the effective measure there. I think what really needs to happen to maximize those benefits of that scheme is ensuring that the farmers that wish to go further or already going further are supported to do so. So that's when we talk about the optional tier, the collaborative tier. So how do we make sure that the money is available in those pots so that they can be delivered for the maximum benefit? Because when you look at that sort of Welsh Government analysis of all those actions, return on investment, delivering for the taxpayer, which this is now a method that we have to be considerate of that we didn't have to before under the European regime. We need to ensure that there's the money there in order for people to draw on it and to make that real benefit. But if this scheme can move us all forward at the rate that we need to move, which is really over the next 5 or 10 years, then it can be effective. But that requires a lot of political courage. And to go back to that point that was raised earlier about the scale of ambition and need to change, I'm reminded of this, what's gone on over the past couple of months when we've talked about the cost of net zero and the strain in making this change can be really expensive. What's the additional cost of oil over the past couple of weeks? The CCC have calculated has been more of a cost to the economy than what a net zero transition would be. So you can see how quickly stuff can change and how what seems hard could suddenly be the easier option overnight quite quickly. So we need to be have the confidence to move at a pace that Wales requires, not just what the slowest people require, I suppose.
Interesting. That's really interesting. And Simon, I'm going to bring you in to just kind of zoom out on that, in that the sustainable farming scheme is one, is a supply side solution to, the food challenge. It's trying to make sure that our farming businesses are economically viable, whilst giving a kind of baseline platform of public subsidy to underpin that. And Alan's kind of spoken about that. But we've also got this demand side challenge as well. And when we think about that, much has been said of, the need for a national food resilience strategy, or a national food strategy more broadly, as we've kind of seen in a UK level, but we haven't seen in a Welsh level. And as a restaurateur as well, as someone who probably, who is buying produce from Welsh farms as well, you've got that perspective. So what do we kind of mean by why do we need a national food strategy? What might it look like? And what kind of challenges is such a strategy meant to, meant to provide us, and especially with your perspective as a kind of from the demand side, really?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the years of consultation over the sustainable farming scheme are an example of why we need that, because that's all gone on in a context of no real vision of where the food system in Wales is supposed to be going. We're a small nation, 3 million people. IWA will talk about this a lot. When we should be a speedboat, we're an oil tanker, it seems. And we should have come up with that vision many years ago. And it really upsets me that to think that, 4 years ago in the Senate, we had an opportunity to set that on its way. It was relatively cross-party, and we didn't take that opportunity. Now, I don't think it's too late, but I do think that we can't wait for a food strategy, and another 4 years of consultations and whatever. Look, it seems to me that the demand side is really, really key here. And we've not done a good job of working on that, but partly because we don't know what we're trying to achieve. So Let's take public procurement, for example. All right, it's only a small part of the overall demand for food, but it's a small and significant one. And when you take things like schools, where I'm involved in a lot of work, that's often the only place now in some communities where you've got the opportunity to actually influence food in a community. We've done a terrible job as far as procurement is concerned. We have one review after another that never actually brings what we need, which is for a school or a local authority to be able to say to someone like Aled, here's a contract. We really like your meat that fulfills our values, and we want to put it in the system. Now, I know from the work that I do that actually, in Wales, we spend more on school food than they do in England. And actually, I find myself in the weird position of being in the Senate and sort of saying, actually, I wouldn't put any more money into that system at the moment. Because when I look at it from the inside and what we see going on the ground, it's hilariously, ridiculously inefficient. So the idea that some of this, I think there's a broader point there, which is small producers generally, I imagine Aled kind of alluded to this, certainly in what we do, we're hospitality and small retail. Month by month, almost day by day, it gets harder and harder to do anything. And we're riddled with bureaucracy that is supposed to ensure compliance and the kind of outcomes that we're talking about, but they have the effect on the ground of doing the exact opposite thing. So if you take a place like ours, where we spend 75% of our purchasing power in with Welsh growers and farmers, we could easily disappear. Restaurants and cafes are disappearing all over Wales at the moment. They're the ones who will spend money directly with farmers and growers. They're part of that shorter supply chain that we desperately need. The procurement is another issue. Supermarkets, we can have alternatives to supermarkets. We can actually take some of that value back and that power back. We see it in other countries. I've visited cooperative supermarkets that in North America that turn over huge amounts of money, that are the biggest suppliers of food in their towns. And we have to have the ambition to do that. We can do it. But at the moment, government doesn't seem to understand that that's about engaging with civil society, with people like us, and saying, right, how do we go about this? How do we make it happen? And it won't be acceptable until we make it happen.
And Alad, do you want to respond to some of that in regards to maybe, the procurement side of things? Is it easy for you as a farm business to make those connections to, the public sector, which need an awful lot of food, whether that's schools, whether that's hospitals, whatever, or, local businesses? Are those networks established, and do they, are they ensuring you get the best price for your product with the amount of certainty that you need? Or is that a challenge that kind of needs policy to incentivize, I guess, is what I mean by that.
So probably the best way to sum it up is I think we were supposed to go into three local schools 3 years ago as a trial, and it's still being kicked down the road. So that probably answers that question. With regards to building links direct to consumer, it's quite a laborious process to get into places. And then after maybe a one or two slow build up, you can be dropped in a week. And like Simon says, restaurants that'd be potentially volume buyers are under serious pressure, whether it's through increased national insurance contributions or minimum wages. They've had a big spike in cost over the last year. So we've seen a bit of a shift in the last year, and that is far harder at the moment to get into those. On a positive note, we've seen far more interest direct to consumer. So people are becoming more concerned about where they're eating, and they want to build closer links to consumers. So we're seeing a bit more interest, whether it's in Carmarthenshire or towards Cardiff. So that's really, really good. But for a sustainable business, we probably need a bit more volume because that's a very slow process and more of a trickle. So it's a real nice feel good when you can speak to a family and how they might go to a supermarket and the children won't eat mince, and then all of a sudden they love your spaghetti bolognese. That's awesome. It's a really, really nice feeling. Same thing with getting restaurateurs or business owners on farm who don't have a link to a farm and just spending time in the countryside and seeing what you're doing and getting an understanding of that. From committing all my time during the year to spending it working with animals and in the environment, to just being able to share that and to see the positive feedback, I can't tell you the enormous sense of how proud it makes me feel. I think as a farming community, we drastically miss out on that through the way that we currently supply into supermarkets and that supply chain.
Yeah, Simon.
Yeah, can I just say that the economics of this are changing too? And I mean, look, if we cut out the middlemen, there's a lot of fat there that can be redistributed elsewhere. I mean, we have situations, we certainly had it last summer, that where, we are in our retail element, we're selling out local tomatoes, for instance, cheaper, the organic from up the road, really delicious, as you can imagine, cheaper than the cheapest tomatoes in Tesco. So, and that's largely because, as we've talked about, that's largely because of inputs, but also it's attached to seasonality, which, we really need to re-engage with. But it applies to meat too. So, I mean, we buy all our lamb and beef from one supplier. We've been with them for, I don't know, 10 years. We probably spend about 1500 quid a month with them, something like that. And we're able to retail that stuff again, probably certainly cheaper than some places you can go and buy meat, and certainly cheaper than the top end ranges in supermarkets. So, and I see that changing further because we know what the pressures are on the global food system and what that's going to do to prices. So, as Alan said, this is about the long term view. You can't, I mean, you can't be reacting just to every peak in terms of global food disruption like we've got now, because we've been saying, right, these are around the corner. The next one could be climate related. Over the summer, we could find, as we have before, that there's a huge deficit in fruit and veg production elsewhere in the world because it's too hot, or there's been flooding or whatever, and we're seeing that occur more and more. So, there are real, that's what I meant at the beginning about real opportunities, and that's what we should be looking at. And I actually don't think, I mean, the schools thing is a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. The only people that seem to think school food is acceptable in Wales are civil servants in Cardiff. Not a single head teacher that I talk to is not embarrassed about the food that they're putting out and will tell me that, how have we got into this mess? We don't have people in school kitchens who can cook, and therefore that's probably one of the reasons Alid's food hasn't gone into schools, because you have to be able to turn that amazing mince into something that's good value. And by the way, you can put Welsh, really good Welsh meat on the menu in schools. It is affordable. We've been through this process and we know, and it can be done. So again, it's really saying that we can't deal with little bits of this issue. We have to deal with the whole thing. And I worry, one thing that worries me is that the next government comes in, it's only a four, there's going to be negotiations before they can actually start doing anything. We're into our 4 years already. We, commissions, reviews, etc., etc. We need to get on with it. If we're going to have a plan, we need to come up with it by Christmas this year.
Yeah, and just reflecting on all of that, and I think it's interesting, Alan, your direct experience of the procurement system of we're quite good at getting pilots off the ground in Wales, but then really bad at applying the pilots into broad policy. And I think it's really heartening to hear, and you hear it anecdotally that people are wanting to support Welsh businesses, especially when it comes to where they're getting their food from. And it's great to hear that that's happening, but maybe there's a need to kind of reorientate some of the energy that we've used really successfully of growing the kind of Welsh brand of food globally and reorienting some of that energy to trying to grow a domestic market, and really put our weight behind that. And Alex, I'll bring you in on the policy side as well, but yeah, it just strikes me that there's opportunities that are really being missed here, and the Welsh government can potentially, there's lots of ideas to pick up off the ground that have a really good outcomes for farmers, similar outcomes for the public sector, and the broader halo effect that that has on things like population health and people's access to good food as well. Alex, I'll bring you in. I'm not sure which part of that you wanted to respond to, but
But
come on.
I think it's a lot of key points there. I think that point you mentioned about the brand, Wales brand, it is a strong brand, and that's what the government has put a great deal of effort into. I remember back in, it was 2012, 2013, and I was working in the Senedd. The goal for Welsh food then was just to increase the GVA. It was, we want to produce as much as possible and export it as much, as far and wide as possible for the most amount of money. The needs of Wales was not really a factor, and that's because that was driven largely by what the industry wanted it to be. Now, since then, we've had the FG Act, we've had lots of other crises and changes, and there is an opportunity to change those things now and start thinking more about what we need. And when we touched on these ideas of procurement and schools and hospitals, that yes, they might be relatively small, but they do provide a good starting place to get this right. And it will also highlight what needs to be done in the supply chain as well. What is that wider role that connects production with consumption that is often missed? And it could be the case that ploughing another 100 million into food production might not be as well spent as investing in that wider chains and connecting communities more and providing those alternatives. But that requires a government that is willing to step into spaces which has been left to the market for the last several decades. And will the Welsh government, a new version of it that's coming soon, will that be willing to do that? I'm not sure, but I think a lot of it is still focused on what's the status quo, how can we make next year work rather than what happens in 5 or 10 years. And that vision has not quite been there.
And with aware we're in an election period, so broadly speaking, we've had the manifestos now from the main political parties going into the election, recording a couple of weeks before the election happens. Do you see the importance of this as a kind of policy area reflected in the manifestos to the extent that you would like? Is it ever? But are you seeing parties really grapple with what the role of food is to our economy, but also our climate as well, or not?
I think partially it's probably there more now than it has been before, so that's a positive to talk about. But what is meant in the fine print? When I was at a Plaid Cymru conference recently, and it still felt very much there that the intent of a food strategy was, well, let's just get everyone to eat Welsh lamb 3 times a day, and that will be fine. There's not much vision beyond that in some of the time. So I'm reassured to say that, there seems to be an issue now in a way that it hasn't been in the past. That's positive. Just making sure that it is delivering what we've talked about today, and it isn't just a way of repackaging the status quo in a way that makes money for very few people and most people lose out under the system.
Yeah, anyone else got any reflections on that?
Well, I mean, I get it, sort of 5 out of 10. I feel like Alex does, is that it's there, it's not as prominent as I would like to see it. And I think there's still this unbelievable misunderstanding about food policy where it's in the back seat of other policies. So, we might talk about schools and education, and therefore we talk about school food. Then we might talk about the economy, and then we talk about the rural economy. And it's crazy when you think about it, because there's nothing more, or very little, that's as essential in our lives as food. And look at the scale of the threat. So how does this look if we end up with, and I don't want to be apocalyptic here, but let's just take, Tim Lang, who's Professor Tim Lang, the leading expert on food security in the UK, across our screens and in the newspapers. And Tim is basically saying we have to be prepared for huge food shocks, potential rationing, etc., etc. So these manifestos, I think, are still going to look pretty watery when we, in hindsight, if we end up in that situation. So that does worry me, that we're not getting it through to government that food needs to be in the front seat driving policy, not in the back seat of other policies.
Yeah, and that's come through loud and clear. And maybe just a point to end, just to bring you in, Alad, is we hear a lot about the impacts of climate change on food production. We're talking about it at a global scale, but what does that feel like in a Welsh context, are you seeing, changes to our climate? Is that impacting, your yields or how you utilize your land? What does that look like for you now and maybe in the longer term?
Yeah, so that's been a big focus for us in building that resilience within the system. So I think if you look in the last 5 years, we've had a couple of drier sort of springs, drier, warmer springs. And then what you might see more of a drought-based sort of system. So for us, it's been about stuff like measuring infiltration rates on farm and seeing how our grazing management can have an impact on that. So number one, builds resilience on farm, but number two has a far wider catchment benefit in being able to retain water on farm in drier periods. So stuff like that, I think it's ambition that we need to see. So whether it's like Simon mentioned, we're seeing a two-tiered food system, whereas more affluent people in society can sort of invest in their health by buying better quality meat and food in general, whereas maybe the poorer society are buying more of your processed foods, which down the line is going to have a huge impact on us as a society. So I just want to see a bit more joined up thinking, a bit of ambition. Like Simon said, we're a smaller nation. Surely we can do something about it and be world leaders rather than just trying to do bit part stuff.
Yeah, and I guess, is there anything else? We've kind of spoken on a lot of stuff that we're asking of Welsh government to do. I guess headline amongst that is a food strategy that kind of ties through lots of disparate bits of policy together into something that has a bit more of a long-term outcome behind it that gives people the, the space to deliver whatever part of that system they're part of in a way that's a bit more, long-termist in outlook. Is there anything else that anyone wants to leave on the table for the next Welsh government to pick up if they're listening to this today, and go away and think, yeah, there are things that we could do. Alex, I'll come to you first, just as a closing thought.
I think part of that is that saying that the tools are in place now. There's really no excuse. It's down to political will to make a lot of this work, particularly on the food production side. There's a lot more work to be done on the consumption, the food strategy side of things as well. But there's also that element of the international impact that it's about trying to break this vicious circle. A lot of the our in intensive production methods are dependent on imports that we've seen in terms of fossil fuel related products, but also things that are produced in deforestation risk habitats as well. That leads to degradation in other parts of the world. It makes food that doesn't deliver the health outcomes that we want over here, and it basically accelerates some of the climate impacts we have at home as well, which forces a more extreme system. We need to get out of that. Wales can show what is possible. Aled is showing what is possible. Lots of other farms are showing what's possible. And that's what really gives me some hope in this system, is that there are farmers out there, increasing farmers, that are showing that what is the norm, what the industry says, what drives government policy isn't the best solution, and there are alternatives, and that we can achieve them. We just need a government in place that is willing to do that and to take some flak for doing it, because some of these things will not be popular with some very loud voices, but they will over time. The evidence that we have shows work. It's about having the confidence to get there.
Yeah, really useful point on the global responsibility as well. Simon, do you want to bring us home?
Yeah, well, I just think that there's amazing. Look, we've heard all these ideas today. We're all engaged in this work on a daily basis. We know there's a load of talent out there and brilliant ideas. The stuff that Aled's doing can be told, can be done across Wales. And what I would say is government needs to start engaging with civil society on this issue, with businesses, with populations, with schools, with local authorities. But there needs to be a far better discussion, and it needs to act, they need to actually listen to some of the people that have got the best ideas and the most insight about where we're going with this. And I don't think they do that at the moment.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. We've run out of time. I feel like we could have separate 45-minute plus conversations around every single element of this, because it is complex and it is really interconnecting. But I think it's really useful to hear from, the policy side of things, the farming side of things, and the policy change and advocacy and restaurateur side of things as well. So hopefully we've managed to touch on different elements of that challenge and also some ideas for how things could be differently with a lot of these WWF Cymru webinars and podcasts. I've definitely felt coming out of those conversations more positive than I expected to, because you hear about how challenging things are, but it's really refreshing to hear about people who have actionable insight that can actually lead to change. So that's what I kind of go away from this discussion really thinking about, is that we do have an opportunity, and ultimately these opportunities come up every 4 5 years in a sense, and there are things we could be doing differently, definitely. So thank you all for all of your time and insight. Please, those out there listening, please share this podcast with anyone else who may be interested. I think it's important going into the Senate election, but also, as Simon has pointed out, really what comes next as we go into Christmas, when priorities for the next Welsh Government will really be, hammered out. So thank you once again for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed it. Goodbye.